Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Volume.
The NBA season is in full swing. And when I can't get enough of the action on the court, I spice things up betting on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Right now, new customers bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN, J-O-H-N. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code JOHN. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is happening, my people? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast, a little Saturday edition of Best Of. Welcome to the weekend, DJ Joan. I wanted to hit on, I did this week, what the Vikings are really doing. Are they fooling us with their quote-unquote love of J.J. McCarthy? Hunter Mahan joined the show this week. He's won 6 times on the PGA Tour, played in the Masters 10, finished in the top 10 of the Masters 3 different times. So he has a lot of experience giving his thoughts on the golf course and just playing with peak Tiger in the 2000s. The Commanders are bringing in all the quarterbacks this upcoming week. Some thoughts there on their last round of interviews, as well as kind of scouting reports on all the guys. So we will hit on that all. It was a fun week of shows, all up on iTunes, Spotify, as well as the YouTube page has all of our content and the volume coming fast and furious. So make sure you go check that out. Appreciate everyone that listens. And before we dive in to the week, I wanted to tell you about my good friends at Game Time. Grab your iPhone, grab your iPad, and download a little app called Game Time. They're the official ticketing app. If you want to go to a game, if you want to go to a concert, if you want to go to an event, I have you covered. Search the event, the game you want to go to, or just search where you live. Find a stadium, find an arena, see what concert is coming near you. Use the promo code JOHN. That's J-O-H-N, J-O-H-N at checkout, and save $20 off your first pair of tickets. They have flash deals, some of the best prices. Fastest growing ticketing app in America, no big deal. Game Time. Download the app now. Promo code John. J-O-H-N. I was thinking about it today. I'm 39 years old, and I've had one interview in my entire life. Not that I've interviewed somebody. I'm saying interviewed for a job. It happened to me one time. Fresno State, didn't even have to interview. Anything in radio or obviously podcasts, zero interviews. I interviewed for the Eagles, and I flew back there, and your boy got the job that day. But that's the only interview I ever had. So when it comes to what these players are going through, a lot of people listening, I've had a lot of friends and know a lot of people that work in more corporate structures. And when you interview for bigger jobs, it's usually not a one-time thing. When I interviewed for the Eagles, now granted, you know, big ego boost, I got it that day. It was a $25,000 job. Now, there were several other people there interviewing for the same position, but there were also other people interviewing for higher level jobs. And it was a multiple step process. Me, got a couple recommendations, interviewed well, met a couple people, smiled, they liked my personality. That's not usual. That's not typical. For big jobs, entry level jobs, much easier to pivot if the guy fails. But how many of you listening right now that have interviewed for a big upgrade position with a company to leave a company, if you are the person interviewing for high price jobs, whatever that may be, whether that's going from 80 grand to 150 grand, whether that's a $300,000 job, whatever it may be, usually it's not just a one-off scenario. They usually interview you multiple times. There's initial meetings, there may be a secondary meeting, and maybe there's a final, like, out to dinner, meet with the board of directors, or whatever you may be doing. That's part of business when you are investing a lot of money. And for most companies, even multi-million dollar companies, hiring someone making hundreds of thousands of dollars is a big, you know, big hire. Well, in the NFL, the biggest hire you can make, obviously, is a high draft pick, right? Because not only are you investing a ton of, like, what we consider draft capital, a first, second, or third round pick, you're making that pick in hopes to one day pay that guy hundreds of millions of dollars. Because of what they did after the last CBA, whoever gets drafted second will make $35 to $40 million guaranteed. But when I make that pick as Adam Peters, just like the Bears when they inevitably take Caleb Williams, in my mind, I'm already thinking about the second contract. You're not drafting him thinking worst case scenario. Let's face it, you're thinking best case scenario. It's why Caleb Williams gets compared to Patrick Mahomes and not random quarterbacks throughout the league, right? We'll get into some of the scouting reports. The Michael Vicks and the Justin Herberts are getting thrown around. Not Daniel Jones. Well, maybe, and we'll get into that. But my point is that the Commanders are bringing these three guys in. And I saw a lot of people that cover the NFL is like, if you haven't figured it out by now, what the hell are you doing? Of course, when you bring a guy in or multiple people in for final interviews, you are leaning some way. We're all human beings. You're going to like one guy maybe more than the other. No different when you see these coaching searches. Usually starts out, let's just pick a number, 10 people. You interview 10 guys, and then you cut it down to your final three. Well, guess what? When they go to the final three interviews, they probably are leaning a certain way going into it. Now, that can change. The defining thing for all these guys, obviously, is their ability to play the game. And that has been defined over several years playing football. Drake May, multiple-year starter. Jaden Daniels, several-year starter. And J.J. McCarthy, multiple-year starter. Tape speaks for itself. And we all know as quarterbacks, the intangible aspect of it all is very, very important. Not many fucking losers excel at the quarterback position. Right? It's usually smart, hardworking, driven human beings. And if you are going to be a little immature and maybe not have the best work ethic, you got to have elite physical skills, i.e. Ben Roethlisberger. But typically, the guys that grind, the guys that work the hardest, the guys who are the best leaders are the best players at that position consistently. There are some outliers. Brett Favre's work ethic wasn't as great as some. He also had the greatest arm of all time. The other quarterbacks in his generation, Steve Young, Troy Aikman, checked all the boxes off the field. right? Aaron Rodgers probably could get away with some stuff. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning couldn't because of his physical gifts. But I would imagine even if Aaron Rodgers' work ethic didn't equal Peyton and Tom's, it was still pretty damn good. So everyone going, I can't believe they're bringing these guys in for like one final round. You can't? I would take an educated guess that they are leaning a certain way with this pick and the player that they're going to pick. But wouldn't you want to get one final sit down with them all to go, are we really sure? Because let's face it, when you make this selection, just like anyone that makes a selection, no matter how excited you are, and these videos in a couple weeks are going to go viral, people hugging, people chest bumping, people saying F yeah, and hell yeah, and huge high fives. It's awesome. It's one of the coolest parts about draft night. Remember last year, Dan Campbell and his GM, Brad Holmes, when they traded back and they still got Gibbs, the running back, they went nuts because they were as confident as humanly possible. But you still don't know, right? You're only as confident as you can be when the pick, but we've seen all the time people be confident and the guy not turn out to be really good. So you better be as confident in making a pick at quarterback is way more complicated, right? Because even if I miss on a wide receiver, well, maybe he's not our number one. Can the guy be a number two? Even when I miss on defensive lineman, yeah, he may not be a star, but he still gets to rotate in. If my quarterback sucks and this guy isn't the one, let's face it, we're screwed. It's just that simple. It's a major problem, and in a couple years, he will not be on the team and we'll be looking for another guy. Colin and I talk about it all the time. The timeline of getting 3 or 4 years at that position is done. You get like 2.5 max. Some guys get 1.5. Trey Lance got 4 starts. They're like, get out of here. You're not good enough. Zach Wilson, they knew after year 2, but because they brought in Aaron Rodgers, he got like an extra year that they clearly regretted. Mac Jones got 3. Fields got 3. And really, they didn't. Mac Jones, we knew early on in the season, was not going to be back. And Justin Fields, the moment they were getting the number one overall pick, around, I would say, November, was done as a Chicago Bear. That's how fast it happens. So I have no problem, just like any human being, hiring. If you're a small business and you're going to hire someone that's going to play an important role in your company, a CFO, a CEO, a marketing manager, whatever, doing several interviews with multiple people. And that's what the Commanders are doing. I would bring all these guys in. Now, I don't know. We don't have all the details. Are they all coming together? Is one coming Monday, one coming Tuesday, one coming Wednesday? Which I would imagine is probably what ends up happening, because it'd be a little awkward if they're all at like the steakhouse on a Tuesday night together. But I think this is the right move, and I don't think this is weird at all. I wanted to dive into some scouting reports in this article that I found in The Athletic. Basically, I didn't write down the guy's name. My bad. I'm not trying to just aggregate your stuff without giving you credit, but it's on The Athletic. It's basically breaks down the top quarterbacks, and it gets a bunch of unnamed scouts, assistant coaches, GMs, scouting directors. I love this type of stuff. The media's like, put your name on it. It's like, guys, they're not allowed to put their name on it. That's not how it works, but we yearn for this content. And let's start with Jaden Daniels, who in this article was universally considered the number two quarterback. As in fantasy land, you guys, QB2, right? Caleb's QB1. It's pointless to even talk about any of his quotes. He's going number one. We don't even need to waste any time. Like, he's going to be on the Bears. We'll evaluate him as a player whenever the games start. But I think all these other players, what's fascinating is, like, which one are you going to choose? Part of last year with Bryce and CJ was like, listen, the Panthers had a choice, right? And they chose the wrong guy. The Dolphins, once upon a time, had the choice, Herbert or Tua. They took Tua. Even though, in fairness to them, at the time, it wasn't as crazy as its age. Dolphins fans were like, Middlecoff, what the fuck are you talking about? Tua, playoffs! Not a soul in the league who would take Tua over Herbert. But this is not about those guys. This is about Jaden Daniels. And one thing stood out to me in this little blurb from a scout. Jaden probably made more progress than any quarterback coming out in the last 5 or 6 years. He can anticipate, make all the throws, and is an explosive athlete. As a scrambler, he's not Lamar or Vic, but his ability to process pre-snap has improved as a passer, which is hard to do in 1 year. Here's what I found interesting. We know he started working with virtual reality this season. He got those VR reps, and that's when he took off. Is it? Honestly, maybe I've missed it. I didn't see this story. I remember years ago when Stanford started doing it with their quarterbacks, how you could take these mental reps, right? Historically have always been in a classroom, watching film with your position coach, your coordinator, what your head coach, going over what you should do. But I don't know about you, when I was in school and they would do PowerPoints, it was harder to focus. I never learned like that. Cal Poly, we learn by doing. Some of you can take that information and then take it back to the field. I do think this middle ground of you're not actually on the field, but this VR is just going to be, and I would imagine a lot of teams now, you know, participate with virtual reality in their operation. It's kind of genius. I mean, we all learn differently. Some guys can only learn from the field. Some guys can learn in the classroom and go to the field and need one rep and they're good. And most people are somewhere in the middle, a little bit of everything. I think that's how I am. That's how you are. Like, most people aren't one way or the other. It's kind of hearing it over and over, repping it out in whatever you're doing, practice the 10,000 hours. And he's a guy, little bit of a late bloomer, got around really good players, a really good coach, and excelled. Now, here's the thing. Lamar Jackson's the best running quarterback I've ever seen in terms of explosion, in terms of instincts, and in terms of not getting hit. Like, he can avoid these hits. Michael Vick was probably the most explosive runner we've ever seen, but he could not avoid hits. He actually, like, yearned to hit people, which is a problem when you're actually kind of small. Michael's not the biggest guy, and he'd get hurt a lot. I think Jaden is just a really good athletic quarterback, but that's where it gets back to the concerns of the weight. But if you don't have concerns on anticipatory throws, layering throws, processing information, like, if the Commanders feel good about that, like, this guy's going to go number two overall. Some more stuff. Jaden is quarterback two. He can start immediately. Better learn to protect himself or he'll be in the cold tub often. That's the thing. That's the Michael Vick thing. If you can't avoid the hits or seek the hits out, you are done in this league. I don't care if you're Cam Newton. Cam Newton was out of the league in his early 30s. Sometimes you see these highlights of Cam Newton early on in Carolina or at Auburn. You're like, is this the greatest athlete factoring in the size I've ever seen at the position? But just taking a pounding. Fucking wears on you. I don't care if, like, the, you know, Mean Joe Greens and the John Lynch's and those type players are out of the league. It's still a vicious game. And these guys are running faster than ever. So that, to me, is a huge concern. Even if you feel good about the processing and stuff, can you teach that? Now, I've always believed that you kind of are who you are as an instinctive player at whatever you do. It's hard to completely change and take that out. You're either fearless or you kind of hesitate. Or you're just naturally avoiding. Frank Gore, as a running back, was elite and he played for 50 years because he never, you know, went out of his way for contact. He avoided it. And that helped the longevity of his career. When you're banging, it's just brutal. Listen, I grew up, you know, I didn't grow up on a ranch, but I was going to the ranch a lot as a kid. Wear and tear ranch miles on trucks is a lot different than me driving my Tahoe around town. So the wear and tear of getting blasted all the time as a quarterback or running back is the reason so many running backs fall off a cliff. It's the reason Cam Newton fell off a cliff. So I think you got to try it, and there's no way to know. You just have to get a feel for the guy. If you think he can change a little bit, if it was him trying to prove something, if we can, or that's just kind of how he is when he's instinctively playing. To me, that's probably the biggest concern, and that's where the weight comes in. People like him. I mean, that's pretty clear. And listen, I remember just throwing on the YouTube on Malik Nabers. I'm like, how good is this guy? And it's hard not to just be wowed with Jaden Daniels. Last but not least, he could end up being the best one. Very good athlete, arm talent. I think he sees it and can process. Big drop off after him and Caleb. Here's where I think it gets interesting with Drake May. Is everything is a projection. And for what Herbert kind of has become, I don't think he was viewed that coming out. He is way better than anyone thought he would be. Where Josh Allen, there were people, if you were betting on Josh Allen, you thought he would be a star. You were getting at, you know, it was basically like walking into home plate, you're down a run or two, and you have to hit a home run to extend the game. You're either going to strike out or hit a home run. There was no middle ground with him. Now, Josh Allen is much more talented, in my opinion, than Drake May. But he is in the mold of, like, you're either going to hit one off the wall here. Maybe it won't be a home run. But you're either getting a double or a triple, or this is going to be a disaster. And those are the riskiest picks. But part of life is risking it. Like, if you stay in the slow lane your entire life, you are going to get fucking lapped. If you're like, ah, the mortgage rates are too high, I can't afford this. Well, are you sure? Because if you can't, maybe you'll rent your whole life. You know, obviously, if you don't have the money, you don't have the money. But how often do you hear, oh, I wish, you know, I should have bought then. There's always that guy, I wish I would have done this then. I should have invested in that stock then. I've met a million of those guys. And they're telling the same story forever. And it never changes. Now, in the NFL, like sometimes in real life, if you don't invest in something, whatever, you get more opportunities. You might only get one in the NFL. So if you're Adam Peters and you take this, and it backfires, it could be a disaster. It could cost you your one shot as a GM, especially if it's really ugly. And if you take Drake May over Jaden Daniels, and then Jaden becomes a star, that's a problem. It is. And he knows that. Like, it's part of the business. But here's a very interesting quote on Drake May. Because we only talk about the ceiling. I say this all the time with comps. It's always like, oh, this wide receiver, he reminds me a lot of Keenan Allen. I see Keenan Allen. You know, I see some Mike Evans. We're never like, you know, this dude reminds me of like the fourth wide receiver on the Carolina Panthers. Remember that rotational guy for the New York Giants 2 years ago? He was like, kind of moved to the slot sometimes. He had 30 catches. That's who he kind of, if you say that in a draft room, it's like, what? So you're always comparing him. He's got a little Devontae with a little Tyreek speed. It's always like, you know, he's got a little Herbert meets a little Josh Allen. You would never be like, you know, he's got like Cleveland Baker mixed in with a little Vegas Derek Carr. You'd be like, oh, don't feel as good. That's why you always hear, like, with Jaden, Lamar's, Vicks. You know, I mean, you don't hear all the scrubs that couldn't play. I know a lot of people that look at the ceiling, but you've got to look how low the floor is. A guy like Drake May has a lot of room to grow. He's young. He hasn't played nearly as much football. Only 2 years of starting. May reminds me a lot of Herbert. May is Herbert light. Take everything Herbert does and make it less. They'll be compared because of the size, but there's no comparison. I like May, but when I see the amount of work it will take to have him reach his potential, we'll be fired first. I have no problem taking big swings. I really don't with these, you know, when you're high in the draft. But the risk is astronomical. Because the pace of the pressure has never been higher. The amount that we all talk about this, the league talks about this, and ultimately how fast the owner will want to pivot. What I'm paying one of these quarterbacks, it doesn't hinder me from moving on. It doesn't stop me from cutting him, trading him, getting rid of him for nothing. We have seen it over and over now. All these quarterbacks that failed were on other teams very, very fast in recent memory. Very, very fast. I mean, Baker Mayfield's on his fourth team. Sam Darnold's on his fourth team. Think about that. All those guys from the Zach Wilson draft, other teams, they're begging someone to give them a seventh-round pick for Zach Wilson right now. Begging. No one will do it because no one wants him for $7, $8 million as their backup quarterback. They're going to have to eat some money ultimately to unload him. And when you talk about potential, which is what you have to do in a draft, it's one thing with a position player. It's another thing with quarterback. And even if you have Marcus Mariota, Jacoby Brissett, or whatever on your roster, if you're not good early on, there is not a fucking soul that watches your team that is going to want to watch that guy play. And they will scream and scream and scream. And you can say all you want, we don't listen to the outside noise, we're insulated. Your owner does. He listens to sports talk radio, podcasts, and watches the shows every single day. Because if I owned a team, I would too. And so would you. So the coaches may not, even though a lot of them do. The GMs definitely do a little bit more. But the owner is the only one that matters. And when his fans are screaming, I can't watch this ninth-year retread backup quarterback anymore throw the young guy in, which is the right move. But when you get these huge projects, it can derail you immediately. It really can. Listen, the Masters is going on right now. some of the guys crushing it right now in golf. I was talking to a buddy who played at Oregon, who now works, Robbie, who works for Adidas. And we were talking about how good Max Homa was in college. When Max Homa left college, he was the national champion. He's currently, as I turned the TV off, he was 4 under. Actually, he just bogeyed. Maybe he was 3 under. Max Homa sucked as a pro. Was holding on for dear life. He didn't pop till his late 20s, early 30s. He got eaten alive. Now, golf's a little different than football, but we're seeing it happen in football. Guys who aren't quite ready at that position get destroyed. Where in when I was a kid, in like the 90s, you got several years. You got time to learn, sit. Hell, even Carson Palmer got a year. It's why what happened to Patrick Mahomes, we will not see that anymore. That just is not happening. Because nobody wants to watch it. And now with the money, the owner, let's just play the kid. Though, you get a huge project like Drake May, and it's clearly like a pretty big project, better be ready to go. Here's what I say about Justin Herbert, who I liked a lot. Now, I never thought he would be this good. He's like a 4-year starter in college. At Oregon, who was competing in Rose Bowls. Herbert was a starting quarterback for a team that literally won the Rose Bowl. I mean, he'd been in a lot of big games at a really, I would say, high-profile school. So comparing him to Drake May, I just putting those guys in the same sentence, I don't love that. Here's the thing with J.J. McCarthy, and the same thing with May. I don't love McCarthy. He's a winner. He has all the intangibles, but I wouldn't say I like his arm, and I think the athlete is a little overrated. He reminds me of Daniel Jones. You know what's funny? Is when I looked at the numbers for, and I've been saying this for a while now, of J.J. McCarthy, his numbers kind of reminded me of Alex Smith. Now, he's a little shorter. I think he's got a little bit better arm than, but I think he's in the similar mold. Well, there's nothing wrong the Alex Smith, the Chiefs guy, the last year with the Niners guy, and before he got injured in Washington guy. Guy was a good player. You could make the playoffs with that guy. But he was the best case version of that guy. The comp for Daniel Jones coming out of school was Alex Smith. That was his comp. And what happened to Daniel Jones? He simply wasn't good enough. Now, in defense of him, Alex Smith finally got Jim Harbaugh and Andy Reid, which is clearly better than any situation he's been in, even with Brian Daboll. So to maximize a guy like Alex, you need everything great around him, especially on defense and a great head coach. So to me, J.J. McCarthy has had that in college. He's been the version what Alex was with the Chiefs and with the 49ers. They had an elite defense, have like 75 guys that are going to get drafted on the defensive side alone, and had 6 offensive linemen go to the combine, NFL running back, and just an NFL head coach. So I'm not anti-J.J. McCarthy. I think he's a fascinating prospect. But I think when you compare him and you think about drafting him really high, a lot like Drake May, you're just thinking of the best case scenario. And unlike Drake, who has more physical skills, his floor is just not as high. And when it doesn't go well for Daniel Jones, that type player, Alex Smith, earlier in his career, it doesn't get any uglier. That's as ugly as it gets. So I think this J.J. McCarthy situation is going to be fascinating. Now, he goes to Minnesota, like the situation a lot more. Offensive weapons, good head coach, floor is a good defensive coach. But if he goes to the Patriots, I'm out. Last but not least on Penix. Here's an assistant coach. Penix is better now than May or McCarthy for NFL football. He can read defenses, throw accurately, is quick, and has strong enough arm. He's more of a sure thing to play in the NFL, but I'm not sure where he goes from here because he doesn't have the same upside. It's a great line. It's not about where you are today. If you were playing NFL football next week and it was a win-or-get-in game for the Commanders, they would be better off with Michael Penix than any of the other guys. But like we talked about, you're drafting not even for this rookie contract. You're drafting ultimately to try to give him $250, $300 million in 4 or 5 years. And that's the thing that concerns teams with Michael Penix. He's older, the injury history. No one can argue when you watch him play. Beside Caleb, he throws the ball and he's more accurate and his deep ball is better than everybody. I mean, it just speaks for itself. But there are other factors in here. And here's a scout. I think Bo Nix is much better than Penix. I disagree there. Penix is serviceable and a different player when he's playing on schedule, but he's not a good foot athlete. I worry about him when he gets traffic in his face. The fascinating thing to me with Penix is if he goes to the right spot, good offensive line, good coach, I think he can be good. But the one thing that you saw in that Michigan game, which people keep going, Middlecoff, you once put him number two in the draft, you've pivoted. No one's arguing that he's not a really good player. But his speed at his pro day, he never really did that and played like that, right? Now, can he? We saw C.J. Stroud, much better playmaker in the pros than we saw in college. We knew he was great in the pocket. I know Penix is great in the pocket. Elite. And Michael Penix is an NFL-caliber pocket passer. But you get hit a lot in the NFL. I don't care who you are. And when Michael Penix played NFL-level teams, Oregon, Michigan, both times I thought he wasn't going to finish the game. And that concerns me. I like the player a lot. But I think it is fair to be concerned. And it's pretty clear, like, he's not going ahead of those three guys. But I think he has a chance to have the most fascinating career. I would be stunned if he had a long career, but I could see if he gets in the right situation having a fantastic couple years because he's kind of ready-made. Very old school. It doesn't happen as much anymore. These quarterbacks, man. Fascinating times.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing around the draft that I am always very leery of and throw a big red flag over is when someone goes 100%. It's one thing if you're the first or second drafting team, right? So-and-so team is going to take Caleb Williams. At number two, they're going to take Nick Bosa. It's like, okay, I totally. My mom can figure that out. When you start getting farther down the draft and you go, this team will do whatever it takes to get this player, I go two things. One, you have a very leaky front office, and that is not a way to run a draft room. Or two, you're throwing out a lot of bullshit to throw people off the scent. And I think Minnesota, you got to look at all their moves, right? They had Kirk Cousins, who... I think a lot of people go, they let him walk. He did tear his Achilles, and he wanted a lot of money. Now, they had been thinking about it last year when they had offered the 49ers, and the 49ers didn't want the trade because they trusted that Brock Purdy could come back. But they clearly were open to moving on from Cousins a year before. So it had been on top of mind. Probably an easy decision once he tears his Achilles, even though they went back and forth with his agent. But everybody and their mother just goes, the Minnesota Vikings want J.J. McCarthy. I even saw Rick Spielman, who was on this podcast, said, I don't know where he said it, But he basically said that I expect them to do a dramatic overpay to get J.J. McCarthy. If you told me right now that Adam Peters in Washington, and Colin believes they're going to take Jaden Daniels, I was told Drake May. I don't know. I'm expecting them to take one of those two guys. I honestly don't really give a shit. I just hope whoever they draft is good and the team's entertaining. I don't really have a dog, you know, a horse in this race. I don't care that much in terms of, like, I don't have a strong opinion on either guys. I'd be nervous drafting either. But you got to pick one or the other, and they're eventually going to pick one or the other. But they're also drafting two. So beside Caleb Williams, they have the pick of the litter. Minnesota currently is at 11. So if they want to dive into the big-time quarterback market, they got to trade up really, really high. Why would you want all these other teams that could theoretically also like J.J. McCarthy to know you love him? What if it's trying to throw everybody off the scent of the guy that they actually like? I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but it would be terrible business when it is dramatically out of your control. One, you need teams not only willing to trade, but willing to accept your offer for a trade and willing to move down a lot, right? Even the Cardinals are a good example. Monty Ossenfort, when he gave his press conference a couple weeks ago before the owners' meetings, we are open for business. Come trade. There's a difference when we're open for business and we're willing to move back a ton of spots. What if I go from 4 to 6, get the player I wanted all along at 4, and add a second-round pick? I'm not even saying the Giants are willing to make that trade, but I'm open to everything if I'm the Cardinal guy, right? So when I see that they're in love with J.J. McCarthy, I just hesitate to truly believe that. You know, I said this all along with Mac Jones and the 49ers. I believed Kyle Shanahan liked Mac Jones, but anyone with a brain had to be in his ear. Like, you can't take a guy with this limited of a skill set at number 3 overall. Now, they ultimately drafted a guy who's even worse than Mac Jones, but totally understand why they took a huge swing, right? Mac Jones, you draft a guy like Mac Jones or Kenny Pickett in the top 5, you are completely fucked if it doesn't work out. They're great examples. Both of them, not on the team, a couple years later. I just think, what if Minnesota really likes another player? And honestly, if you're them, Albert Breer wrote today that Michael Penix is a guy, and he said this, he kind of was careful the way he worded this, is moving up draft boards. Because you don't, at this time, move up draft boards. You don't go from like a third rounder to a first rounder over the last month. But if you're a guy that people view as like, yeah, we could see you in the first round, then I see you at your pro day, I take you out to dinner, I have you invite you on a 30 visit, we spend all day with you, and we go, holy shit, that guy is really, really impressive. Because these guys have been making the rounds, and when you're a quarterback, the standard is so high for when you make a team's visit, right? You're meeting not just with the head coach, the coordinators, the general managers, the executives, with the owner. You kind of need universal sign-off when you make that visit. Now, historically, tends to be a little, you know, pretty high-level group of people playing that position. But what if you're Minnesota? Would you rather just sit at 11, take Penix, and then use that other pick, I don't know, on a player? Or would you take 11, 23, and next year's one to try to move up into the top 5? To get a guy who's kind of, let's face it, his ceiling is stronger-armed Alex Smith. So I hesitate to write in Sharpie Minnesota is going to mortgage the farm for this specific player. Because if that is true, I'd argue even if they pull it off, it was pretty reckless to kind of let everyone know. And maybe it's just as simple as everyone put the pieces to the puzzle together. But you can't put the pieces of the puzzle together without some of those pieces leaking out of the operation. Even Kyle Shanahan admitted, yeah, I really like Mac Jones. And obviously that was being leaked out before that draft. That's why a lot of people had mocked and said that Mac Jones was going to be his pick, because you couldn't keep your mouth shut. And I think any time around this year, you got to be very careful about telling people what you are inclined to do. Like, it's not hard to go, yeah, the Chargers probably could use a wide receiver. Right? That's probably a position that if they get stuck at 5, not crazy to think,
who they should draft. But I think it's healthy that, I don't know, out of the three guys, let's say all three of them are on the board, and I tell you right now, 100% locked, the Chargers are going to pick a wide receiver. It's not crazy if they picked one of the three. Like, if I told you they picked Rome Odunze, it'd be like, whoa! But ultimately, it's not that nuts. Obviously, if they picked one of the other two guys, Neighbors or Marvin Harrison, totally, you know, we can envision that. But I shouldn't have an idea of, like, they love this guy. And if you do, at least through the media, always question that. Because around this time of year, you want teams to try to make moves believing you're doing something when you're actually never going to do that. So I have Minnesota as just like, I struggle to just assume everything we're reading and hearing is the way it's going to go. One, they have like a Wall Street guy running their operation, and this should kind of be his cup of tea, right? Working the media, leaking things out. So just keep an eye on that group trying to keep people off the scent.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a kid, obviously, you were a highly touted amateur player, played at a high level in college, but to get to go to Augusta in 03, before you became professional and became normal, what was that like driving down Magnolia Lane? You go with your parents, you go with it. Who'd you go with?
So I remember winning my semifinal match, and that got me into Augusta. Like, I knew that. And that was the first thing I thought of when I won. It wasn't even, you know, because I actually won the U.S. Junior, and I had a chance to do something only Tiger has done, which is win the U.S. Junior and the U.S. Amateur. So I was on the precipice of that. But as soon as I won my match, I knew, like, oh, I'm in Augusta. Like, it was wild. It was a wild just moment. And then we went and played. As soon as you get that invite, or as soon as you know you're in the tournament, you're allowed to play kind of as much as you want. You just have to play with a member. So you can go call the club and say, hey, I'd like to go. And they'll help you out, and they set you up. And so, yeah, driving down for the first time with no fans, no one there, just like, I don't even know what day it was. It might have been a Monday or something like that. And it's just eerily quiet. It's just, you're feeling everything that you've seen on TV. Now you're experiencing it. And this is when they have the old range. It was wild. It was just such a, I mean, it was truly like a dream come true, because everything that was fake is now real, and you're seeing it and experiencing it. And then you get to see the golf course and in 3D, right? You're not seeing it from a 1D, just from a flat perspective. You actually get to see the slopes and feel the slopes and see how the course is actually and how you're going to have to play it. It was really And as an amateur there, I think that's so special. It is so unique. And that is a real honor because you didn't qualify. You really had to, like, I don't say you're not qualifying for it, but you're really earning your opportunity to play that. And there's only like 89 guys this year. And sometimes they've had like low 80s. And so it's really, really hard to get into this event. And so it was awesome. And I felt very proud to be there as an amateur and play there as long as I did.
That round that you played, the practice round with the member, did you approach that just like a normal round of golf, or was like a practice? Do you remember what you shot?
No, I don't remember. I mean, I just was like, I mean, I was just getting a feel for everything. And so like the whole course is just sloped. Like every shot, you're going to have every kind of lie. You're going to have uphill, downhill, side hill. You're just taking it all in that first time, and you've got to figure out, you're just figuring out angles. The course is so angular and how you need to attack certain pins and everything. So, I mean, I was hitting, I was kind of like, can I hit another ball here? And they're super nice, the staff, everybody. And I was getting tips from the caddies who were there because they've seen that place for a really long time. And that was fun. The caddies have amazing stories and you can get a lot of information from them. So I just was taking it all in that kind of that first round and experiencing and everything that I could that could maybe help me in the tournament, even though the course changes drastically, even from Monday of the week to the day, just to feel it and to understand what's actually going to happen when you start on Thursday.
Why is the course so hard?
It requires your attention on every single shot, right? Like the greens are real slope and you have to really put yourself in position. If you get out of position, it's really, really challenging just to get up and down. And big numbers can happen really fast there. And that's one of the things that you have to do there is just not three putt and not bake big numbers. If you do that, you're going to have your opportunities for birdies and even eagles. But you just have to be, you just can't take a hole off. You have to be engaged on every single shot. And you can't get frustrated with the golf course because the wind swirls. You do want experience when you're sort of playing this golf course.
Did you get nervous as you became a pro? I mean, 09, T10, 10, T8, 12, T12, T9. Are you nervous in the mix, or does it just become like a normal tournament as a professional after a while?
I think you're nervous the first time, but I think the more you play it, the more comfortable you get. It doesn't change a lot. The weather obviously is a little, you know, we've seen like Zach Johnson play there and it was freezing cold, right? And it changed the course drastically, but it is such a, it's such a comforting feeling for a pro to play there because they only allow one person per player on the range. Like if you want your swing instructor, then he can come up. If you want your psychology, well, then they have to switch out. If you want your physio, they have to switch out. So it's a very calm, it's strange, but it's a very calm place. And you
is that not normal at even a US Open or a British? You can bring whoever you want.
On the US, like it's your family, your cousins, your friends, your teachers, their teachers, swing, putting, chipping guy, they're all on the range. There's 1,000 people on the range and there's 1,000 manufacturers and media. And it's like the great thing about Augusta, it's so like defined and everyone's so respectful of everything, but it's just such a, it really does feel like it's all about the players and the player experience. And so everything you're doing that week is sort of wrapped around that. And it's just, like I said, it's eerily calm. And it just feels like it's all about the golf and you're just, that's what you're there for. And I don't know. I just always, it just was such a relaxing place, even though, you know, you're at the Masters, it felt therapeutic in a way, cause it just felt like you didn't have to deal with a lot of stuff other than just playing and handling yourself.
Did you get nervous more there than you did at other places or at least like off the first tee on Thursday?
I don't think so. I just was so happy. I just enjoyed the experience. It was so cool to be at Augusta and playing the Masters, these signature holes, those signature moments. I don't know. I just felt like I just enjoyed it so much. You know, everything, the par three contest, the specters, the people, you didn't have to worry about anything. There was not going to be any nonsense out there. There's not going to be any fans yelling or it's like everything was just controlled and it just, it felt easy in a way that all you have to do is just try to play your best and play a really good golf.
Is it harder? Because I was looking at some of the scores. Besides, if you take the fall Masters out, it's kind of hovered between 10 to 13 under, which in this modern day golf, I don't want to say it's U.S. Open, but it's not. These guys aren't shooting 24 under par. What makes it so difficult? Like, is it just the slopes? Is it your approach shots, which clearly is a big deal at Augusta? Is there a flat lie out there?
There's not many. There's not many flat lies. I think what they do well there is they adjust year to year, right? And they have a lot of control over that golf course. Like, they have all the control of the golf course you'd ever want. So they're able to adjust it, add some length here, move this back. You know, they have a great sense and a great feel of it because they host the same course, the same place over and over and over again. Yeah. So that helps a ton. If you're going to a different golf course like the USGA does, PGA, there's no rhythm and there's no feel to what's happening and how the weather is going to play into the golf course. So they can hit the gas on the greens when they want, which is obviously really challenging, right? Like, you don't see great putters seem to win at Augusta, even though putting is so important. You just have to not three putt. You just have to not be a disaster on the greens. The course is all about ball striking. And now it's becoming much more of a bomber's golf course where you really got to hit it high and far to carry. There's a bunch of carries there over these little mounds on a lot of these par fours where if you do carry it, and then it's going to bounce on a flat surface other than bouncing into a hill, which then equates to 25, 30 yards. And so, and like I said, they can still hit the gas on these greens and to where where you hit your second shots is, I mean, we're talking about 2 to 3 yard gaps. Like, this is, I've got to land it in this area or it's going to hit a hill and roll down and now I'm going to be struggling for par. But if I hit it on top of there and it rolls over, I've got a great look for birdie. So it's just the difference between where you hit your approach shots on a lot of these holes is the difference between a 5 foot putt and a 30 footer up and over a 4 foot mound.
Would the average like 5 to 10 handicap have any freaking shot on those greens? Because they always say they're like the hardest greens in America.
No, they would have no, like, I mean, I'm coaching in high school here and the kids 3 putt all the time. Like, that's like 5-10 handicappers are going to 3 putt a lot. And they're gonna
is it because they're like concrete? They're just super fast or they're undulated? Is the combination of it all?
A combination of it all. They're super fast, which is one thing, but the greens, like the course sits like on a hill, like from the first tee 18 green, it just goes like this down to 12. Like, it's steep. And that's how the whole golf course, it's oddly in a bowl and everything goes down to 12. And so even when you think you have a flat putt, it's still going to break a lot, right? And so amateurs just aren't used to playing 3, 4, 5 feet of break and having the ball and just thinking that I've got a 12 footer and I just need to two putt it. I just need to get it around there and give it a chance, but not be super aggressive. There's not many aggressive putts you have. There's not really many flat greens. 12, ironically, is about the flattest green you're going to have there, but it's, you know, you can get at it at certain times and certainly give you that opportunity, I guess, though, which is so great. There's a stretch on that back nine on Sunday, right, where you can get to that golf course and you have to make hay when you have that opportunity.
Did you ever have a chance on your top tens to like legitimately win on the weekend?
Yeah, I think I had a teeing off on Sunday. I had a chance to win. I needed to play really well, and I just didn't get it done. But I felt like I was there, and you have those opportunities on the back nine on Sunday, and you got to take advantage of those. I mean, the best. I remember playing with Freddie one year, and that was my favorite time with Freddie. Sunday at the Masters was just so cool, and so he's the best guy to play with in a stressful environment because he's sort of just like this, you know, Andy Reid, calm, confident coach on the sideline, just doing his thing, and Freddie has just this way about him that nothing seems too big.
You know, you played in the era, before we dive into some of the favorites and just what we're thinking this weekend, in peak Tiger. I mean, when you first got on tour in the early 2000s, and obviously once Phil got over the hump and became an all-time great, starting with Tiger, I mean, you see him today, he's smiley. He's definitely a different person in his late 40s than the guy you saw. I remember texting with you years ago when it was like COVID shut down, just watching all these YouTubes. I mean, how much better was he than everyone else? Like, when you close your eyes and think like your Tiger story, being around him, playing with him in his heyday, what stands out to you about Tiger Woods?
It's crazy to think, but he was the best at everything. Like, there was like, he was winning tournaments, playing okay. And that's guy's whole dream and their life was to win a PGA Tour event. And it wasn't like he was toying with anybody. He just was like, he was just on a different planet of work ethic and desire and what he was willing to do to win. But like his, like he was the best driver of the golf ball. He was the best putter and his short game was ridiculous. And what you have to do is hit your long irons well. And we'd never seen anybody be able to hit three irons as far and as high as he could. And so when you go to Augusta and you go to these major type places and he's just playing a different type of golf when he's hitting these five and long irons straight up in the air and just landing it perfectly soft on the green with incredible distance control. But when you take that and you take that to really tough golf courses, the advantage is just, you know, what we've learned is that ball striking and iron play is what's going to separate you from being a really, really great player. And it takes you from course to course, country to country. It doesn't really matter. And the way he was able to do those things and hit those irons and the way it, the sound it made, the lack of it just looked and felt and the way he can shape it just slightly. It was unlike anything we'd ever seen before. Guys would struggle to just get up and to win events. And it was just like he was such in a rhythm of just toying with everybody else a lot of the time.
You know, the thing I've always said about him, and listen, obviously he's had a crazy life. I mean, an insane life. But he said it today, like, I just love golf.
Yes.
To be as rich as he is, to be as injured as he is, it's like to still want to some grind. It's I just think 99% of people in his shoes with his resume, his money, his now family, I just don't think would continue to do it. And I just admire his drive, which, like you said, was on the forefront for 20 years for guys like you just watching. It was unprecedented. I don't know if we'll ever quite see anything like it again.
No, it's a like you said, it's a pure joy to the simplest things. I think he loves just the feeling, you know, of a pure strike. The high draw, the manipulation of hit it left and right, the feel like of hitting a perfect wedge from like 60 yards and watching it spin and the control that he has. He loves the simplicity of the things. It's sort of like Brady. You can't like Thursdays and Saturdays and Sundays. You got to like hitting balls at home at like 7 a.m. and just feeling the way the ball rolls off the putter. Like he loves all those things. It's his passion. It's his drive. It's his work ethic. He just loves all those things. And I don't think people even understand what he has to do now just to play a round of golf. I mean, it's crazy. Hours of warm up and work, and then it's post work. And he's willing to do it, which is crazy. He's almost 50 and he's been doing it. And I mean, the last, what he won in 2019. So like last 5 years of his has been such a struggle for him just to get on a golf course and play four rounds. And it doesn't faze him. He's just like, well, this is what I have to do. I have to add this hour of stretching and ankle mobility work. That's what I'm going to do. Do I have to wake up at 4? Okay. 3? Whatever. It doesn't matter because I want to be in that first tee competing because that's what he loves.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh,
Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.